Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good evening, church. You're so welcome to tonight's service. We thank God so much for the presence of God in our midst. As we go into the teaching of God's word, let's dedicate this time to God in prayer that we are so grateful, oh God, for your word and for your Holy Spirit that are indispensable in our midst, Lord. We thank you so much that you send it forth for an enlightenment, Lord, an establishment, O God, of our souls and our spirits and our entire lives, O God, into your perfect will, O God, even the road that is narrow, that few walk along, O God, because we could be few here, O God, but you prepare such an opportunity for us to enjoy your presence. We give you praise and glory and honor, thanks and high appreciation. We refuse Satan to take your word from us in any way, O God, and pray that our hearts shall be good ground upon which it shall be sown to bring forth great fruit that shall increase and remain to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. The title of our message tonight is The Right Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Right Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. I thank God so much for the word of God that we will be sharing tonight, and the section that we start tonight focuses on the Apostle Paul's addressing of the way the Corinthian church was abusing the spiritual gifts that the Lord had bestowed upon his church. As the false religion situation in Corinth that we have been studying, the carnality that we have been discussing in all these other chapters, caused in Corinth there to be counterfeit spiritual manifestations that had to be confronted. And the church was being informed on this subject by Paul the Apostle, and its behavior had to be regulated by the truth of God's word and the Spirit of God. Even as he states here in the beginning of chapter 12, now concerning, referring to the query that had been raised and mentioned about in this letter, the first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 7, verse 1, where he has started addressing issues that they had written to him about. Sure enough, this issue, as it is, because we are studying the books of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians to be able to grow in Christ, the subject is of great importance of clarity, especially today in our age where there is an overwhelming increase of false Christianity. Amen? Lots of false churches being planted by false pastors, engaging in false worship, prayers, ministries are coming up, and I hope and pray and believe that we will all cross over into 2020 and continue, because this is going to be our last study of this subject tonight, because next Wednesday is Christmas Day, where we will be having one service at 10 a.m., an English service. Our passage of concentration tonight reads from verse 1 to 7 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Praise God. Jemuli? Well, wow. If especially you're reading from the NKJV, the New King James Version, the word gifts is italicized, where it says now concerning spiritual gifts. And my study had it that the word gifts was italicized to indicate that the word wasn't in the original text. I don't know whether this time around NIV completely eliminates it, because NIV eliminates such things that were not in the original text and causes controversy. But it is put there because the subject matter is implied. The gifts were what were being implied, the spiritual gifts. As we will see in this whole section, it's a section I wish we would continue straightforward, but the will of the Lord shall be that, God willing, we will continue into the next year with. So if we were to read it in the original text, or even in the literal Greek from which the New Testament was translated, that sentence would read, concerning the spiritual, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Have we got that? As in referring to that which has spiritual qualities or characteristics or is some form of spiritual control. That is, of things pertaining to the spiritual realm. Romans chapter 8, which we won't go to, but being good students, you take note of these scriptures that we mentioned and refer to them as the Bereans used to do. But you see in Romans chapter 8 many instances where the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, kept on giving them the essence of the reality of the connection of the Holy Spirit and their spirits as of true spiritual essence, which we ourselves must clearly know as being so real. As in, things of the Spirit are not just fantasy. All right? Neither are they just spooky. Things of the Spirit are not just ghosts in bedsheets. Or as depicted by Ghostbusters, for those who used to watch Ghostbusters. We should know that God is Spirit. Not so? Yes, even Jesus quoted that in John chapter 4, verse 24. And so are we, essentially, because we are created in the image of God. We are spirits with souls residing in bodies. So all of you looking at me are spirits with souls residing in bodies. All right? All right? If you won't say yes, at least shake your heads or shake your heads. All right? We earlier on in the study of 1 Corinthians referred to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If we could turn there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16, it says in that passage, but as it is written, eye has not seen, no ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been given freely to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right? Such a passage and many others, for example, in Timothy, where we are told we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind, causes us to know that of a reality is the spiritual realm. The unseen spiritual realm exists in a greater reality than the physical seen realm. Because the unseen spiritual realm is what causes the physical realm to be what it is. I hope I'm not losing anyone. Things are born out of the spirit into the physical. All right? And it is still written in the word of God that the things of the spirit are permanent, but the things of the physical, the visible, are temporal. Just like our bodies, yeah? Our bodies are not permanent, but our spirits are permanent. So we should not treat the spiritual realm as something spooky to consider or something that is of non-importance for our understanding. That's why Paul says now concerning the spiritual, I do not want you to be ignorant. It is actually the spiritual realm that governs this physical realm. As we know, for example, that words are creative. And when words are uttered, you do not see their power, but the effect they cause about you see. Not so? Just like God said, let there be light, and there was. Just like curses and hexes and vexes work. We are together now. So we should take the spiritual as of vital reality and importance for our knowledge. Now, that cannot be covered even in 1 year of study. So we take our text and consider verse 1 that is telling us that spiritual gifts that are being considered for our attention, as should be our concern, are divine enablements for ministry that the Holy Spirit gives in some measure to all believers and that are to be completely under His control and solely used for the building of the church to the glory of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now, these had to be distinguished from the mystical experiences, which were called ecstasy. You've heard that word? Those experiences of ecstasy were induced in two people out of the evil worship, the evil religions that were happening in Corinth and are also happening today. And they had a semblance of the spiritual gifts of God. Because out of someone giving themselves to an unholy spirit, their behaviors, their actions, even their words would be changed. And there was also what you would call enthusiasm, where still by the inducement of an unholy spirit, someone would give divination, would interpret dreams, would bring revelations, give prophecy or visions. And we know that even today, it's happening. Not so? Yes, because it's still in Corinthians, I think in 2 Corinthians, where Paul was saying that the devil has been so good at camouflaging as an angel of light, so his ministers should not experience it as strange, right? There's a clear example that I recalled while I was studying. You remember the girl in Acts chapter 16? Perhaps we could scroll it up and see. In Acts chapter 16 from verse 16, where when Paul went for ministry, it happened as they had gone to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met Paul and his pal Silas, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Verse 17. And this girl followed Paul and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. You see? In that instance, an unholy spirit was camouflaging as part of Paul's ministry. So, if at the end of his mission in that area, Paul had not addressed that spirit, and they had gone back to, say, Jerusalem or continued to wherever they would have been going, imagine that because that spirit was proclaiming what we know as the truth, therefore, even those that had been brought to the knowledge of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ would think that those that were of that spirit were the truth. Tuchiraba. So, it's important that in relation to us not being ignorant, we are brought to a sense of discernment, which we consider in a sermon like tonight's. Because when we read in verse 2, it says that, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Meaning that before these Corinthians, because you are not Jews, before they got born again, some of them used to go for those services, if we would call them services, or experiences. And the grandfathers would come upon them and things would happen. You know what I'm talking about. So when they got born again, some of them were still mimicking those certain dramatic and bizarre practices of the mystery religions that they had been a part of. Because you remember, this church had a lot of competition within it. So some would go into ecstatic or hypnotic chants and practices that would be to the end that people think they are spiritual or they are performing ministry. And that caused a lot of disorder in the church, because such people, with the inclusion of drunkenness, if you remember in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, where Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, which causes dissipation. Ephesians 5, 18. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. For some of us, not me, but okay, I know that. That know that many times when they go to witchcraft and sorcery engagement, there's a lot of drinking of alcohol, so that you lose control of yourself as an easy way of being taken control over by a foreign spirit. And that's what Paul was saying. Do not do that, but be filled with the Spirit. He continues on in that passage, and the kind of songs that they are supposed to sing, hymns, spiritual songs, I mean, you know, the Psalms, are not just enchantments that would come upon them in that ecstatic frenzy. You understand? Some of them were involved in sexual orgies, to which the devotees willfully yielded themselves to gross sin, because you still remember of the temple prostitutes that were in that city. So some thought that it's a worship of not only a god, but God. We have seen this the same alike, haven't we, in this day and age? Or if we haven't seen it on YouTube and WhatsApp, we've heard of it, especially in Southern Africa and in Northern Africa, maybe, where people are told to eat grass and they eat grass. Where, like in Kenya, I heard last year, one started a church of sucking women's breasts that the pastor is ministering under the Holy Spirit to deliver them out of their problems. So they don't go to church in bras, and it is only the pastor who ministers to them. And they still go to church, my dear. So that they may be delivered. And there's a lot more that you have seen that I won't mention on the pulpit or heard of. But what would happen, as verse 3 explains, that therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What would happen during such episodes would be that the name of Jesus Christ would be accursed. because they would actually be claiming to be prophesying or teaching in the spirit, sort of even casting out demons in the spirit, by the Spirit of God. We know the same Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 7, I think from verse 20, that didn't we cast out demons in your name, and heal and do this and that? And he says, depart from me, you workers of, I never knew you. You see, they were causing, and such episodes cause the name of Christ to be accursed, okuvumaganyizibwa, because they are demonically blaspheming the name of the Lord whom they are supposed to be worshipping. Any so-called ministry that is not fully honoring Jesus Christ should be classified as antichrist, against Christ. Ministry or ministration by so-called gifts of the Spirit that does not fully honor Jesus Christ as Lord, cause him to be glorified for who he is, for what he is, for what he does, for the truth that he is, that came that we may be set free from sin and all manner of consequence thereof, should be classified as antichrist ministry. Because Jesus wasn't just a good teacher. Amen? Amen? Jesus wasn't just a miracle worker. Amen? Jesus wasn't just a loving man that always wanted to cuddle children. But he was the Son of God, given as the Lamb of God to overcome sin and its consequences. And even during his days on earth, flesh and blood did not reveal that to men, but the Holy Spirit did so. Not so? Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. You remember Simon Peter answering him, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Christ responding to him that, Simon, Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Even in in the Gospel of John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 33 and 34, when John was baptizing, he told those he was baptizing that, he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So, in all of this, as we are brought to grow in Jesus Christ, Paul is laying down a broad principle for discerning matters concerning spiritual gifts, concerning the spiritual, the divine, that we are to judge things by how they relate to Jesus Christ. Does a supposed spiritual gift glorify Jesus? Does it promote the true Jesus or the false one? Because even a masquerader like we saw that girl in Acts chapter 16 should be dealt with sternly, not so? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21 says that, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test all things and hold fast to what is good. So yeah, there may be prophecies, there may be teachings, there may be healings, working of miracles. Because for everything God has, Satan has worked to make a counterfeit, even to the level of making an antichrist. All right? For everything. Even a Bible, there is a satanic Bible, right? So, even as we are cautioned not to quench the Spirit, but to test all things so that we may hold fast to what is good. That's why he says in verse 4 to 6 that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Mark the allusion in this portion to the divine Trinity. Verse 4 mentions the same Spirit. Verse 5 mentions the same Lord. verse 6 mentions the same God, as in the triune God, the three in one. It is Him that works the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right? The Spirit directs, that the Holy Spirit directs, then the Savior, Jesus Christ, is the channel of the supply of the gifts, and the Father is the source of all these gifts. It says there are diversities of gifts, and in the later portion, Paul will go on to list some 9 spiritual gifts that we will consider, God willing, in detail. And in other portions, we will also relate to Ephesians and to Romans, the other gifts that still Paul mentions, and the ministries that he mentions, so that we could have a good understanding of clarity, or clarity of understanding, if it's put correctly, of these gifts. But it says there is indeed a diversity of gifts, and yet there is only one giver. The Holy Spirit is one. And we will consider in Revelation that He manifests Himself sevenfold. The Spirit of wisdom, you've had the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of understanding. It's the same Holy Spirit that manifests Himself in the various ways that He would choose to do so. And He works all that through these diverse gifts. So when we seek God for the spirit of discernment, it's not another spirit we are seeking for, but the Holy Spirit releasing the gift of discernment unto us. Are we together? If it's word of knowledge or wisdom, it is not another type of the Holy Spirit that we are yearning or seeking to influence our lives for the glory of God, but the Holy Spirit to work in that way. Are we clear? So, the gifts may be diverse, the ministries may be different, and the activities may be diverse, but it is the same Spirit. It is the same Lord, and it is the same God doing the work through the gifts, the ministries, and the activities. So, what is the difference between gifts, ministries, and activities? The difference is that all of these are gifts. A gift is something given to you, not because you've earned it or deserve it. Not so? All right? Chikuwewa buwi. You don't deserve it, you don't earn it. And that's why it's written that the gifts of God are irrevocable. Because He gives them for His divine purpose. And because He causes all things to work out for the good of those that love Him, even those that misuse His gifts, He can still cause all things to work out for the good of those that love Him. That is, if they truly love Him. Because you remember, those that love God obey Him. Not so? So, some gifts manifest as ministries. Teaching, for example. Prophecy. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. But these that are ministries, like the pastoral ministry, the ministry of helps, we will consider them in detail later, are standing offices or positions that are constantly applied to in the edification of the body, the church. Whereas some other gifts are activities, like miraculous events, healings, deliverances, even prophetic utterances. All right? So we should have a clarity of what is what and how it works as we go into this study of the spiritual, or more put, the spiritual gifts. Because as verse 7 says, as we close, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In that, no matter what gift, ministry, or effect, all the spiritual, Muluganda ebyomwoyo, ought to be governed by the Holy Spirit to make Jesus Christ known, to make Jesus Christ understood, to make Jesus Christ glorified in the church, and in the world. Amen? Jesus made it plain when he said that when the Holy Spirit would come, he would testify of me in John chapter 15, verse 26. He said also that he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you in John chapter 16, verse 14. That's what Jesus said, all right? And that's what is supposed to be of the Spirit's work in all ways that he works, in all ways that he manifests, in all ways that he causes an influence or an effect. If you are brought into a ministration of the spiritual so that you may fear, or so that you may bow and kiss someone's feet or shoes, or so that you may be rich or powerful, who is being glorified? Is that Jesus Christ? It is you or someone else, or it is the God of this world. Not so? So we should be keen that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not to promote even the Holy Spirit himself, nor any man, nor anything else, but to glorify and represent Jesus Christ. Amen? So we can therefore trust that the true ministry of the Holy Spirit will be according to the nature of Jesus Christ. All right? We should also never think of the Holy Spirit as being more present when he is manifested through the gifts. It's not right. Each and every one of us truly believing in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit in them. It's just that some of us make him resident and not president of our lives. But even when we come together in oneness of accord, in communion, like in a service or in a fellowship, and we say we have come in the presence of God by the Holy Spirit, even though he did not manifest his presence with words of wisdom or prophecy or miracles, signs and wonders, etc., it wouldn't mean he's not there. All right? Because whether you feel him or not, whether he manifests or not, he's there. All right? What we have to have is the faith, the absolute faith and confidence that if we cause the word of God to bear upon every situation, he is at work. Amen? All right? Because he's the one that causes the word of God to come alive. That's why it's important when we are going for service to dedicate ourselves and that time to God in prayer, that the Holy Spirit will prevail and cause his work to work unhindered. Because, I mean, we're in this world filled with lots of influences from other spirits, not so? Innumerable demons, even spirits of the living that are against Christ. So, if I were to put it this way, the ball is always in our courts, that the Holy Spirit is always present with believers, even though at times he may be more apparent through the manifestations that he would choose to manifest himself by. But the purpose of the manifestation would be that the whole body is benefited, the whole church family, not just a particular individual or even a group of people, like we saw those guys who are profiting from that girl. In 1 John, as we close, so it is true that preachers close four times or three. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are or of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." Praise God. So if Satan or his demons or powers or dominions ever appears to you in any form, even if it looks like an angel, the litmus test is, do you confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? If that appearance or that manifestation would not confess that clearly, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, died and was risen again, that is not a spirit or of the Spirit of God. Even if it appeared to you in your dreams, Vanang, some of us forget that because we are spirits, our spirits don't sleep. When you sleep, your spirit never sleeps. So you're active. I teach about it in the Lugana service these days, that we have to be alert, that even if they come to you in the dream, you must be spiritually sensitive enough to cause them to identify themselves. Other than that, you'll be taken for a ride, an evil ride. All right? So let's learn that so that we are not ignorant of the spiritual. Because God has blessed us with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit by his various workings in the church, his body, as we will continue to study, that Jesus Christ may be glorified, that God the Father will be worshipped truly in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Let us praise. We give you praise and glory. We give you worship and adoration, O God, for teaching us, Lord, and enlightening us and encouraging and strengthening us and putting us right, O God, about our conceptions or misconceptions about the spiritual, God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ that this understanding shall bear our lives, O God, to spiritual growth, Lord. We pray that we will not be spiritual babes, Lord, having no discernment, O God, about spiritual matters, Lord. And we pray that the truth that we share of your word shall be that that causes light to be separated from darkness in every area of our lives. Because the truth is, there is no gray area. We worship you. We praise you. We glorify and exalt you for your word. We honor you, O God. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your infilling of our lives. Your anointing, O God. You said in John, O God, that we ought not to be taught because we have the unction of the Holy Spirit to teach us. Help us even when we are at home during our quiet times, Lord, to be taught of your Holy Spirit, of every season that we are, of every need that we have, to be brought to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name we pray and proclaim. Bless you.